Lord, how we thank you and we bless you for today. From the worship to the word, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us. Open the eyes of our heart and mind so we can receive and hear, discern what you're speaking to us this morning. With so much going on, Lord, we need to hear from you. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, broken, decaying world. Lord, amen. We need you today more than we did yesterday. Please guide us. Please lead us. Please direct us, Lord. We call out for help. We need help, Lord. We can't make it alone. We're not going to make it alone. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Teach us through your word. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. As we continue our series on, is God enough or do we need more? Is God enough or do we need more? We always start off with our pop quiz. I gave you a break last week because it was friends and family. How many of you have not eaten this morning? Wow. I hope you are praying and fasting. Please remember, make a note, Mark 9:29. During worship, you should be praying, you should be fasting, calling on the power of the Lord, of power of the Holy Spirit, praying and fasting, situations, circumstances, relationships, decisions, praying and fasting about that, because you haven't eaten, you still have the power of praying and fasting until you take that first meal. And don't sleep on it during the prayer time. You should have been praying and fasting for healing, for strength, for direction. And you should do that every morning. Amen? Amen. And especially when we come together corporately like this. Then how many, don't raise your hand on this, how many studied the worship scriptures this week? At some point this week, you went over one of the three worship scriptures, or maybe all three. Don't raise your hand. And then how many studied the Proverbs this week? Don't raise your hand. Family, what God has impressed upon me as we're studying, those of you, whether you're in school, whether you're in business, you know there are systems for everything. It's a system to connect with God. You can connect and hear from God daily. And if you have that opportunity, why wouldn't you want to hear and connect with God daily? I know sometimes it's kind of scary because God's going to say, well, you need to give this up, or maybe you need to give that up. But then God's saying, look at what you're going to gain. I don't want to hear from God because he's going to tell me to stop doing this, but you don't know what he has for you. So we don't want to put the time in because God might say, do this, and I want to do that. But family, praying and fasting, reading the word every day is the system to connect with God. Remember, God's not looking for perfection, but God is looking for connection. God wants to connect with each and every one of us daily. And then just with the food program, I always like to mention that. Please come out. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of food. We need your help. Tomorrow, get here about 1:30, 1:45, those of you that can. And just be a blessing to the community. Amen? Amen. Did I say Revelations 22 and 6? I did? Revelation 22 and 6, did I say that?
Yep.
No, I didn't. Okay. All right. Amen. Still a pop quiz. Okay. You guys passed. All right. So this is review and then we'll get into the lesson. But 22 and 6, this is John's revelation. The messenger speaking to him. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. If you don't have it underlined already, make sure that you underline that God is real and God can be trusted. And is that enough for you? God is real and God can be trusted. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel. Angel is just another word for messenger. So God sent his messenger to show him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly take place. Think about it. God didn't leave us in the dark. God didn't leave us comfortless. God didn't leave us trying to figure out what's going to happen. And we'll look at that now. Even the things that are happening today, it's already been written about. God just didn't let things happen and say, you all figure it out. God put them in his word. He told us what was going to happen. They're happening. And we should know that God is faithful. God is real. And God can be trusted. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Underline that. That's in red because that's Jesus speaking. Jesus saying, behold, I come quickly. And I was trying to figure that out because we've always read in the word. And Jesus said, he's coming quickly. He's coming. But here we are 2017, it's 2017 years, but we know God is outside of time. So quickly to God is, I don't know what it means to us. Quick to us is like picking up and Google something. There it is right there. Quick is trying to make a meal and just putting it in the microwave for 2 minutes and then we can eat. Yeah. Yeah. But God is outside of time. So God's quickly is not our quickly, but Jesus said he's coming quickly. But then when you look at it, and God tells us that our life is just a vapor or a shadow. So either we're going to see God real quickly, somebody say amen, or Christ is going to come back quickly. But either way, we're going to see God quickly. Amen. And you youngsters, wait till you get, Lord willing, when you start getting over 50, because that's all I can speak of. And you see how quickly you're getting close to seeing God. Say, Lord, slow it down. Yeah. He said, I'm coming quickly. One way or the other, we're going to meet. Either he comes back or I transition. But he's coming quickly. Can somebody say amen? Somebody over 50, can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to start going amen. But we know. He said, I'm coming quickly. Either way, we're going to see God quicker than we probably want to. But we're going to see him. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book, which is the word of God, that guard and that keep. You're blessed. You're happy. You're thankful. You're grateful because you don't have to guess about any aspect of life because God has already written about it. But is God enough? And do we believe what God is saying in his word? Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. That heard means perceived. Not only see, but perceive, discern. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the messenger, which showed me these things. You know, that's a problem. You never worship the messenger. You worship God only. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we were built to worship. So John's built to worship. He said, man, with all this knowledge and all this discernment and all this that you're showing me, you deserve worship. I don't have to tell you in churches where they go and it's not about God, it's about the messenger. And they worship the messenger. And whatever the messenger says, they do it, whether it lines up with the word or not. Somebody say, that's a major problem. That's a major problem. John fell down to worship the messenger because we are built to worship. Remember, you and I, we are going to worship something. There are so many things competing for our worship these days. So many things. You're going to worship something. I'm a college football fan. I watched a few college football games yesterday. And folks are painted up and dressed up. And man, I'm telling you, you're going to worship something. Something's going to take your passion. They worship their colleges. And you see them young and old. See them like 100 years old still in their college sweater. It's like, man, let it go. Come on, you got to let it go now. It's not all that. But see, some people, it is all that. We've elevated college and careers over Christ because we are built to worship and you're going to worship something. Who and what did you worship this week? Not to mention the NFL starts today. It's always something. We were built to worship, and we will worship a team, we'll worship a logo, we'll worship a brand, we'll worship a person, we'll worship an athlete, because we're built to worship. Guys will fight you over their team. Guys will argue you down over their team. They know every stat about their team and every player about their team. And then, well, if you ask them about John 3:16, they do not know. You're going to worship something. Verse 9, then he said unto me, no, don't do it. I'm just a fellow servant, and of the brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Make a note, angels are servants of God as well. Angels have to choose to worship God. We said it before, it deserves repeating. When Satan got kicked out, he took a third of the angels with him. Angels have a choice just like we have a choice. God did not create robots. Angels choose to worship God, or they choose to follow the devil, just like you and I. You're worshiping and following something. It's kind of quiet in here. What was the last? Was it Labor Day? Happy Labor Day, Sister Yvonne? Yes, the one that just passed. I hope you all had a great Labor Day. Time with your family and some barbecue. Okay. So. Says, worship God only. Family, be careful. Something this week, if it wasn't God, something took the place of God in your heart and mind this week. That's why daily we should get up praying, fasting, worshiping, having the mindset that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm not going to let my job or my career or my business or my ministry take the place of God. We could be working for God and worshiping the church and worshiping the ministry and not worshiping God. It happens all the time. I've seen it happen. You can fall in love with worship and you can worship. You could. I know people who worship. Man, I got to worship. What do you worship? I get so caught up in the songs. In the songs? What about the God of the songs? You could worship. Family, that's why we always have to. What is the object of your worship? It has to be God. Verse 10, then he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's time to show everything that's going to go down. Family, we're in a time and a season right now. It's happening. It's a lot happening at the same time. It's time. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, it talks about there's a time and season for everything. I think we're in a time and season where God is trying to get our attention. And then he goes on to verse 11 and said, hey, look, God's trying to get your attention. It's time. But let me tell you what it's about now. He that is unjust, let him stay unjust. Okay. That unjust means wicked and wrong. And whoever's wicked and wrong, stay that way. Let him stay wicked and wrong still. He that is filthy. Filthy being translated into Greek, dirty and soiled and stinky and rotten. Stay that way. And he that is right, those that are living right, keep living right. Time is at hand. Do your own thing, deal with the rewards or deal with the consequences. It's time. God said, I'm finished playing games. Do your thing. Stay the way you are, deal with the rewards, deal with the consequences. He that is unjust, stay that way. If you're filthy, stay that way. If you're living right, stay that way. And he that is holy, sanctified, consecrated, set apart, stay that way. Make your choice. Do your thing. God says, I'm done with it. It's time. It's like, oh, okay, Lord. Let me say it again. Unjust, wicked, and wrong, do your thing. Filthy, dirty, soiled, stinky, rotten. That's the Greek translation. Do your thing. Righteous, living right, do your thing. Holy, consecrated. Holy means consecrated, sanctified, set apart. Do your thing. Because the time's at hand. And then look at verse 12. You wonder why? It says, behold, because I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me. Not that we work for God to get a reward, but Jesus said that's just the way it is. It's a book out by Bruce Wilkerson, the same one who wrote The Prayer of Jabez. It talks about a life that God rewards. Not that we do it to get a reward, but God's going to reward us for living living the Christian life and working for Him. That's just it. You know, sometimes people have a trouble being blessed. Somebody tries to give them some. No, I just do it for the Lord. Oh, that's okay. But receive your blessing. It's okay. No, I didn't do it for that. I didn't do it. That's okay. Receive your blessing. Because when God says, here's your blessing for working for me. Oh, no, Lord, I just did it for you. You're not going to say that. You're going to say, thank you. It's just a reflection of God. It is okay to receive.
Yes.
Now, if you're out and you're trying to do something to get recognition and accolades and receive, that's different. But God knows why you and I do what we do. God said, behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That's man as in mankind. So if you filthy, you're going to receive what you get for that. Unjust, you're going to receive it. Holy, you're going to receive it. Righteous, you're going to receive it. And I've said it before. It's things that you and I have done for people that nobody will ever know about, but you and that person. And sometimes that person doesn't even know what you did for them. But God knows. And that's why we do it. And that's the blessing of it. So don't try and look for accolades from people and men. Do it for God. Do it because you love God and you're serving God. And then when you flip that coin, you look on the other side and it's things that we did that we, not proud of at all. And God knows that. That's why we confess and forsake that so that we can find mercy. Because God knows. And we can't hide it. I might hide it from my wife and from my kids and all that, but God is coming quickly. I got to deal with God. So you confess and forsake. And wives, you might hide it from the husband. You try and hide those shoes in the closet. And then bring them out a year later and say, I bought these last year. But you just wearing them today. I didn't know that. Okay. I mean, we know the games. And we just say, yes, dear, and keep moving, you know. But however, whatever you're hiding, good, bad, or ugly, Jesus is coming quickly and his reward is with him. Verse 13, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I start it, I finish it. There is none greater. That's why we worship God, because there's none like God. Nobody else can claim they are the first and the last. Everyone else was born and they're going to die. Jesus Christ was not born. He was before. He's the all present, all knowing. He's everywhere. He's God. He created all this. He started it and he's going to finish it. That's why when you compare it to all these other religions and all these other cults out there, it's not valid based on the followers. It's valid based on the founder. I was at doing some teacher trainings 2 weeks ago. Or was it last week? I can't remember because it all runs together. But I was talking to this teacher and I thought she was a Christian because she was talking blessings and love and God, and asked her, where does she fellowship? And she said, nowhere. She's part of a sect or something like that. They had a prayer meeting and she said, it's a new religion. It was started about 534 years ago. I said, okay. Now mind you, I mean, that's why you have to ask people. Okay. I had to come and I couldn't go too deep because I'm doing a teacher training and this was lunchtime and I didn't want to get too deep. Well, who founded it? That's where I was going, because if 534 years ago, it had to be some person who has passed away. Our founder resurrected on the third day. seat on the right hand of the Father. It's different. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He started, he's finishing it. But you're going to worship something. You're going to find something to worship. And I hope I get the opportunity to share with her Christ. I did share with her. I'm a Christian and all that. And but, you know, you build relationship before you start, you know, just coming hard. But it's interesting. You're going to worship something. But look at this, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. So that took me over to 1 Thessalonians, Natalie. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. If you're looking for the Thessalonians, all the T's are together. That helps me out. You got Thessalonians, bless you. You got Thessalonians and Titus and Timothy and... What's any other T's right there? That's it? Okay. Three T's. Sounds like a restaurant or a law firm. 1 Thessalonians 4. And verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Said he's coming. He's coming quickly. This is what we're speaking to. It's called the rapture, where Jesus Christ comes back for his people. And is God enough? I'm not an end time prophet or scholar, but I have been listening to him, of course, as of lately, you know, with everything going on. And it says pretty much everything is in place for Christ to return. There's nothing else has to be done for Christ to return. God can come back any minute. Is there anything that would prevent you from going with God? Is it something that you and I would say, Lord, hold up, just give me another week. Lord, I was just getting ready to get married. Just getting ready to buy my first house. I was just getting ready as a church, Lord, we're just getting ready to move into a new building. Man, why you come? Shucks, we're just getting ready to get a new building. So I got a mansion in heaven for you, but if you want to stay down there, do your thing. What would prevent us from saying, Lord, don't come tonight? Other than maybe some family members that aren't saved, Lord, delay your coming so we can witness so they can be saved. Other than that, Lord, come and come quickly. So this speaks of the rapture where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and it talks about those that have already passed away will be reunited with their bodies in the air with us. They're going to rise first, reunited with their body, because their soul is that part that doesn't dissolve upon death. That's with the Lord right now. The body returns to the earth from when it came. We know that our relatives who are in Christ, who passed away, they're in heaven, they're in paradise, because the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We also know that when that thief was on the cross, one of them mocked God, the other one confessed. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today. Not in a holding tank, not in purgatory, not somewhere waiting for somebody to pay some money for you to get out. Today you're going to be with me in paradise because you accepted me as your Lord and Savior. So we know those that are absent from the body is present with the Lord. But this is saying how they're going to be reunited, because we're going to put on our celestial bodies. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I love God because he didn't even leave a question of what happens when we die. Look at 1 Thessalonians 13. Let's just go back and then we'll catch up. 4 and 13. But I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you to be stupid, Christians, concerning them which are asleep, or which them who are passed away, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. God said, I don't want you to be stupid about anything. And you know, it just amazes me. Because I don't know if we believe what we read. I don't know, because granted, when someone passes away, it's tough. We all know that. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when they're in Christ, we know that they are in a better place. The problem comes when we try and put them in a better place and they're not in Christ. But God is saying, I'm not going to have you ignorant. Those who fall asleep in Christ, they go right to paradise. But I don't know if we believe that, because the number one fear of most people is what? So if we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if God has told us what happens after, what are we afraid of? Because we don't really believe what we read. People say, why you don't want to die? I don't know what happens. We do know what happens. We do know what happens. God didn't leave us ignorant about that. But most people either don't believe or they're not a disciple. Remember last week we talked about the many and the much. Many disciples and it was much in the crowd. If you're not a disciple, you should be freaking out. If you're just a face in the crowd, you should be worried. That's why when someone passes, it's a perfect opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people act like they don't know what happens. We're Christians. We do know what happened. God said, I'm not going to leave you ignorant. But if I don't believe it and just let people tell you anything, it's not what the word says. It's what the Alpha and the Omega said, the beginning and the end said. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All right, so look, here we go. We got what? The biggest fear is what? What's number two? Falling. Okay, that's a good guess. Right, I like that. Oh, okay. Is this a quiz? Are we going to, what class would we ask this question in? Because we know it's not a math question, so we're good. Okay. Is this English? Or philosophy or history? Which class? Is okay. Number one fear is death. Number two? Okay, say fear of falling. Say it again. Oh, public speaking? That's number three. Okay. Number two. Yeah. Yeah, in general. That's not a fear. They're not afraid of getting saved. They just don't want to get saved. They deceive. Yeah, they don't know about getting saved, getting rescued. I'm doing my own thing. I ain't got time to get saved. Death, fear of being left alone, and then public speaking. Amen? Nobody wants to be left alone. I'm not going to talk to John right now. He said Donald Trump. So what's wrong with this guy? We're praying for him, Brother John. Yeah. That's what we're doing. Yeah. We're not afraid of him. We're praying for him. Because if he's not saved, he's done too. Somebody say amen. Amen. Nobody wants to be left alone. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to do public speaking. Last week, Sister Kathy was out. I asked like 10 people if they went, do the announcement. You thought... I thought he was going to pass out. Just come and just read what's there. Sister Kathy, it was ridiculous, Sister Kathy. All right. Finally got to Brandy. She said, I'll do it. All right. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Other people. I can't get it. I don't know what to say. It just relax. You're just going to read. You don't even have to just read. Number three, fear of public speaking. All right. And those of us who ever had to get up and see, I mean, it's really, it is very scary. Anybody who ever had to get up and speak, you know, just everything runs through your mind, except the right things. Verse 17, then we which are alive, write this down. This is the rapture, which is different from the second coming. Maybe one day I'll do a series on the rapture and the second coming and the 1,000-year millennium and all the other things that's written in Revelation. But right now we're just dealing with the rapture where God comes back to snatch up his people. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 18, wherefore comfort, encourage, strengthen one another with these words. Wherefore, keep your life in biblical perspective. All this stuff that's going to pass away don't mean nothing. Because the Lord can come back and we're gone. And if not, you ask the folks that are in Houston and in the islands and in Miami and all, who had all that stuff, and just like that, it's gone and we're starting over. And if you've been worshiping that stuff, you're having a really bad time. Even if you've been worshiping God, you're still having a tough time. That's why we comfort one another with these words. Build each other up. Encourage, strengthen one another. Let's go to Revelation. I'm sorry, let's stay at Thessalonians. Let's do 5 and 1, and then we'll go ahead and shut it down for this week. But of the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. Man. Paul is saying, I don't need to write unto you because Jesus has already told you about the times and the seasons. Paul said, I don't need to write about that. And then he makes a reference to Matthew 24 and 3. Let's look at that quickly. Matthew 24 and 3. We'll just touch on it this week and then we'll pick it up next week. Matthew 24 and 3 says, for the times and the season, when is all this going to happen? Paul said, I don't need to rewrite that. It came directly from Jesus. I don't need to touch that. It's already been written and you all know that. Jesus talked about how the temple would be destroyed and then 3 days later he would raise it up. Are you there? Say amen if you're at Matthew 24 and 3. So he just talked about destroying the temple. No brick will be left unturned. Everything's going to be torn down. And he went and sat upon the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came unto him privately, underlined privately. See, that's you and I each day. That's what disciples do. We get together with Jesus every day privately. Away from the crowd, away from the wife, away from the kids, away from the church, away from the job, away from the career, away from school, and we get together with God privately. That's what disciples do. Every day privately. It's a formula to connect with God. Underline this. Get along with God privately. You can't just stay connected if you only come to church on Sundays and read on Sundays. That can't be the only time you open your Bible is on Sunday. You got to get together with God privately. Why would you want to leave the house and not check in with the boss? To check in with your owner, to check in with your master, to make sure you're running the plays right. And remember, this is not a religious thing. I'm not talking about you do 3 Hail Marys, you do this, you do. I'm not talking that religious stuff. I'm talking about, God, I need to connect with you every day because I got a wife and I have kids and there's so much going on. I need to pray for my wife, pray for my kids, pray for my church family, pray for my business, pray for all the other opportunities you're going to bring my way that I'm glorifying you, and pray that I stay focused on you, Lord, every day. You take a day off. It could cost you a lot. Family, we're at the time now. You can't take a day off from God. And if you take a day off from connecting with God, it could be a real bad day. He told Adam, if you eat that fruit, you're going to die. And they ate the fruit and they didn't die immediately. And they said, OK, we're good. See, the worst thing could happen is we get away with something. And I think, nothing happened. Oh, I'm good. Okay. Now I go a little bit deeper. I remember when I was with my brothers, we went swimming at Exposition Park and they have a little kiddie pool and they have the big pool. you know, and well, I'm still a short guy. I admit that. I know I'm not. I'd like to be as tall as my brother Jerry and Roy and all, but I just, that's not for me, right? We get what we get and we don't throw a fit. But my brother said, stay here, because we're going to the deep end. And nothing happened, and nothing happened, and then you get a little more, and then that water just pulls you. Next thing you know, I'm jumping up and down and jumping up and down, about to drown. And my neighbor Bernard, who was with my brother, he looked back, hey, hey, and he went back and grabbed me. So worst thing that happened, when I took those first two steps, nothing happened. Well, I got this. It's the worst thing that can happen. Don't take a day off. Worst thing could happen, you take a day off and you have a good day. Oh, whew. I'm good, all right. I didn't check in with God, but I'm good. It's the worst thing could happen. You take a day off and have a good day. Verse 3, let's finish here and then we got to... And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world or the end of the age? You go to God privately. Make a note, those of you, I know as many of you do. If you go to God privately, he will respond. If you go to God privately, he will respond. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, be aware that no man, that no person can deceive you. That's where we'll pick it up next week. If you would, just bow your head just for, bow your head for a minute. Wow, Lord, as you continue to challenge all of us daily, Lord, not only am I teaching it, but I'm being challenged myself. It's hypocritical to hold the congregation to a standard that I don't even keep. So, Lord, as you're challenging me to worship and praise and read and meditate privately daily with you, I challenge them. God, we know you're not looking for perfection. You're looking for a connection. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. God, we need to know. With so much going on, Lord, I don't want to walk out the house not knowing that I've talked with you and communicated with you and that I'm right with you. I don't want to be unjust and filthy. I want to be righteous and holy. But you give me the choice to choose righteousness or unrighteousness. Even your word, it says, choose this day who you are going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have the choice and we have the challenge, Lord. So I just want to say thank you, Lord. We accept the challenge. Not to be status quo, not to be the same, but to live for you daily. We bless you on today, Lord. Maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. God sent Jesus Christ on a rescue mission to save you and I. That's what saved means, to be rescued. Rescued from what? Death, hell, sin, and the grave. Jesus Christ resurrected, told us what heaven was like and how to get there. It's not a fictional story made up. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, say, Pastor, today. Or if you're not sure, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm saved. I want to be sure. If you don't know if you want to be sure, I want to pray with you this morning. Elevate your hand if you want to be sure that you're saved. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I've been all over the place. I haven't been focused. I don't know when I talk to God, publicly or privately. And God was speaking to your heart and we said, the time is at hand. It's a time and a season for everything. And this is a time for you to rededicate your life. If that's you, elevate your hand and say, Pastor, I got to get it together. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home and you've been visiting and you haven't made it official. Say, Pastor, I'd like to unite from the worship to the word. I just love what God is doing here. I love the spirit of God here, and I love the love that the people of God show. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you on today. How we accept the challenge. With so much going on, Lord, we need to stay connected to you. Cover us, Lord. Keep us. Come quickly, Lord. Let your will be done in our life. Let us get right with you. Let us get real with you. And we know one day we'll be rewarded by you. Bless your people to hear. Not just listen, Lord, but to hear, to discern and perceive what God is saying today. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Members, we have a meeting immediately upstairs, going over some pertinent information pertaining to the church. So come on up. We have continental breakfast. So members, come on up. Get some breakfast, if nothing else. Amen. Come get some continental breakfast and fellowship. And then we'll have our meeting and we'll be out of here within an hour. Give somebody a hug. Stand to your feet. God bless you. You are dismissed.